Hey, we're real happy to have Chris Gillis joining us here, not only here on the Roadhouse, but joining us in Cook County, because it's great, always great to see you back on the North Shore, Chris.
Thanks, Buck.
And you've been spending most of your time on the East Coast.
We moved back to St. Paul last fall.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My memory's a little vague, but so at least in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Closer to the shore now.
Exactly.
You can get up a little easier.
Yes. Yeah.
And for those folks out there coming up the shore, maybe you haven't heard Chris on our program or Chris in the area or Chris's music yet, it's a great weekend to do that because you're going to be playing along with two other very, very talented artists down at Lutzen Resort on Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Tomorrow night.
7 to 10. Yep.
Well, what a great show that's going to be.
That will be.
You
right
and
out in the front room.
Okay. Randy Sabine and Gordon Thorne and Chris Gillis. And that is something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty lucky. Anybody who can get down there should do that.
I'm guessing that fireplace room lobby area is going to be packed.
Probably so.
It's gonna
sounds
be
probably
good.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks around too. Another thing that folks may not be aware of is the music tradition that you grew up with and your father, Frank Gillis, being such a big part of the music in Cook County here, and you as well, and now a big part of a museum exhibit that's also opening tomorrow. So what a weekend.
Yeah, big one.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on at the museum and how that evolved?
Well, we've got a room, the very front room at the Lightkeeper's house, which is right there next to the in between Shoreline and the world's best donuts.
Yes.
And I detail that out because a lot of people don't know this place exists. I've talked to people, both friends of mine and locals, that have either never been in there. Or it's been 20 years.
It's something about that building that just disappears when you look over there.
It's very, yeah. The architecture is austere as, you know, the Norwegian mm-hmm. culture in a similar way.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be like that. Mm-hmm. It's all white for a reason. But it's not very inviting for this day and age for families and apparently for the locals to come in and see what's there.
Once you walk in the door, though, it's all different.
True. And it's especially different now that mm-hmm. we've brought this new music exhibit in the very front room.
And as you said, it's right away, just right to your left when you walk in the door. And great photographs. I was over there today, and it's fascinating for me, being from this area, to see all those familiar faces, but much younger than I remembered them, you know? What was your impression when, as it was going up, and what faces caught your eye?
Gosh, that's hard to say because there was so many new faces. You know, I did not grow up here.
Yes.
Our family was tourists first, really, mm-hmm. before summer residents. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of those old black and white photographs. I don't know anybody in there,
okay.
Very few. Yeah.
But there's one person you knew very well, and that's your father.
I thought you were going to say Ev Bushman there, who also plays an important role in the community, who played with my dad, played clarinet with my dad's band.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your father's career and how it developed and how he ended up here.
Well, he was playing jazz. He and my mom were together in New York City, actually. And they moved to Minneapolis. Oh, gosh, this is before I was born, so 49, 50, something like that. And he started playing piano with Doc Evans' Dixieland Band. And those Dixieland bands changed musicians. There were a half dozen piano players and a half dozen clarinets, and you all knew the same tunes, so you could go from gig to gig and pick what musicians could make it to any particular gig. So it wasn't my dad all the time that was with Doc, but a good portion of the time. And one time up here, invited by Bernie Quick, who opened the Art Colony, of course, mm-hmm. to play at the high school as a kind of a program, an entertainment program in the lunchroom.
Isn't that something?
It was quite a hit, you know. And they did it. I think there was maybe a couple other years where they did that. And that evolved into coming every year for a fisherman's picnic and playing a couple of nights. They would play one night at the, you know, what we now know as Betsy Bowen's gallery studio, but was then the Grand Roy Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bethlehem Lutheran Church, a second night, a Saturday night. And often they would play the church service at Bethlehem Lutheran the next morning. So,
wow.
That went on for 30 years.
You know, that Bernie Quick's attachment to music and all the music he brought up here is something that most people don't remember or knew. We learned about it when we talked to Leslie about her father a couple years ago, I think. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm,
and she
mm-hmm.
talked about that, how much music meant to him. But what a good thing for Cook County that he was so active that way and to bring your father up here. What is... It's always vague to me, too. What exactly, it's called traditional jazz music,
mm-hmm.
but what
mm-hmm.
is what exactly is Dixieland? And I know my mother liked to play something similar to that ragtime kind of music. Are we talking about the same thing?
You know, I don't think we have the time to really...
Okay.
I'm not sure I have the... all the information to go deep into the subtle differences between something like ragtime and Dixieland and traditional.
But how does that, I mean, we're used to, you know, country and rock and bluegrass, and we understand that stuff. But most of us don't understand what Dixieland jazz is.
Well, all those styles that you, those genres that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. all really have a root in the blues. And this is going back into the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about as far as I should really go
there,
you know. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
We won't know. What kind of instruments? Maybe that'll help.
Well,
you typically saw.
You know, what defined the instruments was stuff that was left over, strewn everywhere for free, almost thrown out after the Civil War. Band instruments that were used... you know, in various campaigns and engagements. Those things were all, I mean, that's not the entire story, of course. It's larger, as I say, than we can go into here, but that's mm-hmm. part of the story.
Yeah. And have you got any knowledge about how to
not
convey
a thing,
that?
But I did have a question.
I do.
The exhibit that's opening tomorrow, you're playing at that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's Randy and Gordon and I, all three of us, will be playing at the exhibit.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. Okay. Does it talk about different genres of music? I mean, like, what was popular
here? Oh, yeah.
What was...
In other words, the beauty of this exhibit is it is a timeline. So you'll walk around the walls of the room in time. And I mean, it starts in the early 1900s, and there are some documented posters of dances in town. There's some stuff there.
And a lot of all that started once they finished the Outlaw Bridge up at where it used to be the border crossing before it moved to the Pigeon River. Well, mm-hmm. to the lower part of the Pigeon River,
right.
It was the upper part, when Canadians could come down and, of course... join in, so it made a crowd. It made an event.
We do pay homage to Route 61, Highway mm-hmm. 61, as you'll see when you get in the exhibit.
Yeah,
it's exactly. an important artery that brought a lot of the outsiders, the summer residents, the tourists up mm-hmm. over the years, especially after World War II, when people had time on their hands mm-hmm. and money and families. Mm-hmm.
And as I looked at it, I noticed a lot of familiar names, you know, that...
I'll bet for you, man.
I mean, when we talk about the Halls and the Eversons and, Fred Ruck and... Ora Wilcox, who taught me piano all those years ago, brought the Messiah to Grand Marais.
Oh!
Brought a lot of the symphonic sounds
huh.
that of that time that she was here. And she came, I believe, in... 46 or something like that, and Hannah Johnson, my neighbor, was in there, and they had Drew. Actually, you think about early in that time, you think about a lumberjack town, but they drew big crowds to their events at that time.
There were a couple of that. Not only did Town Hall throw some dances, and actually the original Art Colony was upstairs in the Town Hall. There was another place called the Princess Theater, right down on 61. Of course, that's long since gone. Hardly anybody
it's
remembers
right where
such
the,
things.
Library.
Yeah, exactly.
Is now.
On that corner. Yeah.
And it was gone by the time I was a little guy, which is a while ago. So
we have a fairly good in this new exhibit. We have a fairly good representation of different things that were going on with the local scene before Bernie Quick came up and opened their colony, before my dad was here with the Doc Evans Dixieland Band.
Yeah.
So we have a good spread of material. It's a little overwhelming, actually.
And it isn't quite completed as of today when I was in there. But
they're opening tomorrow.
They're opening tomorrow.
I have to say here that it's a work in progress. We all got into this, Kerry McHugh, the executive director, and I, and Leah Thomas, you begin to find out how deep the rabbit hole goes. It's there's a lot there. This one even small room really can't encompass everything, and so we have to kind of pick and choose what's going to represent the county as best we can, and hope that it covers most of what was going on here.
And I believe a lot of your father's vast library of music is down there as well, isn't it? Did it end up there?
Yes, yeah. There's some sheet music out. Part of the exhibit is the electric piano that he used to play in the Viking Room on Saturday nights at the East Bay Hotel. It's right there in the room with a pair of headphones and a little sign that says, "Please, play."
Yeah.
So anybody, any kid, anybody can sit down. Here's a chance to sit down to a piano and see what that feels like, and plunk around, do whatever you want with the headphones on. And the sign continues, "If you'd like to give us a concert, ask a staff member, and we'll take the headphones off."
Wow.
Because, there'll be maybe some professional piano players who...
Interactive museum.
It's an interactive museum.
Yeah. I saw another photograph there that brought me back also. Ingeborg Holte, who we mostly remember for their place on Isle Royale and her place in the art world here. You know, she was a remarkable painter. But she played concertina, and it's down there.
I saw it down there. You saw that in the box there.
And it's just like it's perfect. She didn't scratch it. You know, but she was an active part of the music scene too.
Mm-hmm. You're both getting me excited to go see this.
Well, it's pretty remarkable to, tie all those things together like they're doing.
And it opens tomorrow. Is it at 1?
1.
Okay.
Yeah.
One to four. There'll be refreshments. There'll be live music. And, we have a video monitor as part of the display in the room that you can watch. And it plays loops that we've collected of lots of different musical performances, radio waves and... lots of different things, looping on the TV set.
And you're very much a big part of that history, too. And I saw some other names from, the last 30 years, I guess you'd say, or wherever that puts you. But what kind of, what are people going to see in more recent history there for folks?
Where to begin, even? There's so much, as you saw, there's so many different elements and so much information on the walls in that room. It's hard to just start somewhere and say, hey, this
I think I saw you and Jim Lawson and Leah Thomas and what was the name of that group again?
I did not play with Jim Lawson.
Okay.
So.
She did. And it escapes me now.
Well, a lot of those people have played with a number of different bands. In other words, the Splinters went through a number of different...
That particular band was very well known
Still is.
Maybe you weren't here then.
Band with Jim Lawson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Leah.
Is that Over the Rainbow?
No, it doesn't sound right now. I should have written it down as I was standing there because my memory bank is not always the best.
Well, we'll just have to go and find out.
But yeah, we'll just...
That's it.
We'll just run down there and... Yeah, during this station break, do we have station breaks
tomorrow.
Here? I don't think we have
station breaks.
One when they have refreshments.
Yeah.
Well, it's an exciting change for the museum.
Yeah.
Edition, and it's great to have that collection of your father's down there, and then of course to see you there, and all those names that really bring us back down at the museum. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and I think it's interesting because it seems like in the last year, couple years, people have been, you know, suddenly talking about Cook County and Grand Marais as a music, you know, musical place and music destination. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited because I think this is going to probably show that it's been a musical place for a very long time.
A long time, yeah.
And it'll just kind of put everything in context.
Yeah. Another big part of the music was Fisherman's Picnic, which is the event, I think, of the year for where you went to listen to music. And it has been for a long,
long time.
It's way back.
And yet Radio Waves has really, in my estimate, has eclipsed that as the new destination where you can spend a whole weekend for peanuts and watch. I played there last September and counted the number of bands. There were 29 local bands. That's something.
It's really Kathy Quinn from the station here and others in the station here too have done a wonderful job of making that work. Works very well.
That just gets better every year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you're going to be joining us here with two other very talented musicians in just a few minutes. So I think we'll give you an opportunity to go back and gather.
You mean and reconnect with them and figure out what we're going to play?
Because
none of us have a clue.
So thanks so much for coming to talk about the museum.
Thanks for inviting me, Buck.
You bet.